I've been real weepy today. Not really sure why, but just weepy before the Lord. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I can do that before Him. You know, I felt like the Lord, you know, having two services can sometimes be a little difficult. Because I feel like the Lord gave me something this morning, but I don't know which service it's for. Maybe it's for both. Sort of doubt it. But in Psalms 137, Israel is going into captivity, and their captors look at them and they said, "Sing us a song. Sing us one of those joyful songs from Zion." Now, Israel was known as a nation that rejoiced and worshiped and was very musical. And people loved that. I mean, I still love the Hebrew music, right? It's got a sound all of its own. And so they said, "Sing us one of those joyful songs," as they're leading them into captivity. They're saying, "Sing us a song." And the people from Israel said this. It's very poetic, very unusual. He says, "We hung our harps on the willow tree or on the poplar tree." In other words, we have lost our song. We were having a barbecue one afternoon, and Treva's cousins from Union City came to our house, and along with a bunch of other people. And this family has been very musical and have traveled a lot of places and sang for the Lord. And we asked them to sing. Their daughter had just died, a 25-year-old daughter. And he looked at me and he said, "I can't sing right now." I don't know if you've ever been through a time in your life where you lost your song, where you just didn't seem like you could offer a melody of praise to Jesus. Those are difficult times. But I would encourage you, I don't like this phrase, "fake it till you make it," but I like the phrase, "there is sometimes a sacrifice of praise." And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in this service or not, but I just felt like the Lord put this on my heart this morning. Just sort of woke up this morning with Psalms 137. And I felt like He said, there's people in your congregation that have lost their song. And God wants you to offer the sacrifice of praise. See, I think a lot of Christians do not know how important their worship is. I believe your worship penetrates heaven. I believe it grabs His attention. And it's not like the Lord needs your worship. You need to worship. There's something about worshiping God that touches your heart, that opens up to where God can pour in His medicine. And there are times when we need not physical medicine, but emotional, spiritual medicine, right? We need a touch from heaven. I don't know if you've ever been that dry. I have, folks. I'll just be honest with you. I went through seasons in my life where it just felt like I was parched. And I needed a refreshing in the Holy Spirit. And so I'm telling you this morning, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm telling you today, God would not put that on my heart if He was not willing to refresh you today. God wants to restore your song, and your worship is vitally, vitally important to you. Amen. All right. I'm still preaching the series of Make Ready My Bride, even though we're moving into this family month or so, and where we're going to be speaking on all kinds of practical issues. But I, in the back of my mind, the back of my heart and spirit, I still have this mandate from heaven to prepare the bride. And so today I'm talking about singles, and I titled this, Celebrate Being Single. Celebrate Being Single. And if you're single today, Jesus, the trump of the Lord may sound and you still be single. And I want to make sure that you're prepared, right? That you're ready to meet him. So turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, he was writing to a bunch of messed up believers. Do you know that? I mean, they were spiritual, but boy, did they have a lot of things that they needed to straighten out in their church. So he's writing to them. In chapter 7, verse 7, he says this, "For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, I know that I know that I know it's settled a long time ago in my heart that your word is anointed, that it is able to break down, Lord, the barriers. It's able to break down the hardness of our heart and penetrate our heart so that it will bear much fruit, Lord. I pray today, Lord, that the Spirit of God has broken up the fallow ground, God, and that the Word of God can penetrate and can plant a seed, God, the seed that we know and the seed that we need, God, to help flourish and help us grow in you, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, that every person would be ministered to by your Spirit, and God, that we would receive exactly what we need from your presence today. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone bought me a new watch. Sarah in Dallas, actually, bought me a new watch for our celebration that we had a couple weeks ago. And on the back of that watch, she had it engraved, Psalms 14, 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart." And so, when I started preaching years ago, some of you may say, you say that every time. Well, it's the word of God. You don't get any better, than praying the word over yourself. And I thought, Lord, what can I pray, to express my heart? And God gave me that verse. Let the words of my mouth. So I mean that. I don't know why I'm explaining it to you. But let my words be your words today. Let my words be your words. So I want to start today by offering an apology. And so, I've been married for 45 years. I'm a very happily married man. Always have been. Just not that every year has been great, but we had a couple of tough years, but I've always been happy, and I don't even have to ask her. I know she is delighted. So, and because of that, I sometimes play the part of the matchmaker. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. And it's because of the joy of my heart that I want others to experience that joy. So I'm starting today by pointing to you and three fingers coming back to me. I offer you an apology today that the church has put pressure on single people to marry. But it's not from God. You hear me? It's not from God. And so I've got some things that I believe that God has given me to give to you. And so the Bible never treats being single as a deficiency. Sometimes culture does, but the Bible does not. It's not a deficiency and it's not a waiting room. It's a calling. It's a gift. It's a God-ordained season with a purpose. Sometimes in life, when we're going through a season that we don't find wonderful. All we can do is pray, God, get me out of this season, right? Get me into the next harvest. Get me here or get me there. And I'm afraid that if you're single today, you may miss an opportunity. You may miss what God wants to do right here, right now, in this time of your life. So I want you to understand that God has a purpose with you being single. Okay? God has a purpose. So how can we serve Him to the very best of our ability? Number one, being single allows you an undivided devotion to the Lord. Your heart is not divided among a lot of other things. Now I'm going to talk about a lot of things about being single today. But there are some really good things about being single, and that's the fact that you can devote your whole self to Him, to give Him undivided. I love that word, undivided devotion. Being single is not better than marriage, but it's not less than either. And so sometimes I think culture makes you feel less than. And unfortunately, I think the church has done that too. And I really do offer you an apology. I never want a single person to feel less than in this church. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Being single is not God withholding. Oftentimes it's God entrusting. God entrusting something to you. You know, Paul says here, he says that we have to exercise self-control. And if you can't, you marry. You know what that means? Marriage is the concession, not being single. Marriage is the concession, not singleness. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was just speaking about divorce, and the people were asking Him questions and said, well, maybe we should all be single. And Jesus said, well, that's not everybody's gift, right? He said, He talks about eunuchs. He said, some were born this way. He said, some have been made that way. In other words, they would castrate men sometimes, kings would especially, so that they could work in their harem. And He said, and some by choice have been like this. And so I think that's true even to this day. You know, maybe it's not your choice to be single, but maybe you find yourself in that right now. So as long as you understand, God wants to use you in this season. Singleness is not a second-class spiritual status. If it was, then Jesus would have got married. The greatest life that we ever see on earth was lived by Jesus. But He wasn't alone. You know, the story of Ruth is a story all about her after she became a widow. Right? Very little is talked about before she was, when she was married, but after she lost her husband and sons, then the story really progresses and tells you how faithful God is to her. One of my favorite people is Anna in the Bible. You guys remember Anna? She was the 84-year-old widow. She had been married a very short time in her life, very short. And for the rest of her life, she devoted it to God, and she worked in the temple. And she was waiting to see the Messiah. And when Mary and Joseph walked in to dedicate Jesus, her heart just explodes. Oh, now I can go see the Lord, because this is the day. She knew, right? Wow. How would she know that? She was spiritually in tune. Why? Because she didn't have a lot of other things clouding her life. Does that make sense? She was dedicated to serving God, to seeking Him with all of her heart. Now, being single comes with a lot of pressure. The very first thing I wrote was financial. You know that single people have the same bills that you as a married couple have? They have house payments or rent. They have utilities. They have insurance. They have cars. They have everything that you have, but one income instead of two, if you have two incomes in your house. So I'm going to say this. The next time you go out to eat and you take a single person with you, buy their lunch. It may be $15 to you, but maybe it'll be a real blessing to them, right? I'm going to come down there in just a minute. Cultural pressure. You know, culture puts a lot of pressure on single people to marry. Family pressure. How many times you've been in a family reunion and people come up to you and say, are you not married yet? Like something's wrong with you. You should look at them and say, are you not happy yet? A lot of married people I know wish they could switch places with you. Church pressure, unintentional, but it's still there. And internal pressure. You know what? I work with seniors, for over 20 years. And seniors, you know, seniors, most seniors that I know, they don't fear dying. You know, like what the number one fear of a senior is? Being alone and outliving their resources. That's what they fear the most. And so there is an internal pressure of being alone or missing out, not having children. Those are real. And I think we should come alongside to help. And the sixth thing that I thought of is there's sexual pressure to being single. Now, as I talk about being single, I'm not just talking to 18-year-olds, right? There's widows, there's divorcees, there's never married. And so I've always been amazed in the church how older single people will put pressure on younger single people to be pure, to keep their life pure, but they think it's okay because they can't get pregnant no more just to go out and be whatever they want to be. That is not God. No. So the same experience or the same level of that we would believe that young people should keep pure is same no matter where you're at in your age bracket. If you are single, God expects you to be sexually pure. Thank you for your enthusiasm again. Okay. Singleness has a kingdom purpose. In 1 Corinthians, same chapter, later on in that chapter, verse 32 through 35, he says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. This is the NLT. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibility and how to please his wife. It can be a real burden, I'm telling you. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never married can be devoted to the Lord and be holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Now listen to these next words that Paul said. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. Do you understand his motive? His motive is for all of us to serve him with all of our heart, right? Singleness offers you possibly more time and freedom so that you can devote to that. I have watched some people flourish when they're single, and I've watched others not flourish. Of course, that's true with marriage, too. I remember one person in this church came and was talking to me, and I'm pretty straightforward usually when I'm talking to people, and just who I am. I looked at her, and I said, you don't need a husband. Can I tell you a lie from Hollywood? Your partner does not complete you.
That's right.
Jesus Christ completes us. Not a man, not a woman. Right? Another lie is, if you really love me, love means never having to say, I'm sorry. Are you serious? That is so stupid. Right? That's a lie from Hollywood. Love means you're going to say sorry a lot. Honor this season as God-given. It's not a season to endure. It's a season to invest. Invest in what? Invest in the kingdom and invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Don't conform to the pressure of this world. Romans 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the perfect and acceptable will of God. Don't be conformed to what culture would tell you is right. You know, I can't tell you, something has changed in the church in my lifetime. And that's people living together. It's like they don't even understand that's wrong in God's sight. And most churches are not preaching against it. We called it shacking up when I was a kid. It was a sin in the 60s and 70s, and it's a sin today. Matter of fact, it's a grievous sin because it's continual. I really doubt your salvation. I just had to be honest. I doubt that you'll make it to heaven. Why? Because 1 John talks about living in that lifestyle. I'm telling you, when Jesus saves you, he gives you the power to overcome sin, that sinful life. He does not save you so you can go back into the hellhole you got out of. But we're not teaching, we're not preaching against that anymore. And people are sitting in the house of God, not even knowing that it's a sin there. Well, they're going to know it in this house. And I don't preach it to make people feel bad, but I will not shun the gospel. I will tell you the truth, even if it offends you, even if you decide to go to another church. God help you, God bless you, whatever, but you're going to hear the truth. We've got to. Number four, you got to shepherd the pain, the difficulty, and sometimes the loneliness of being single. 1 Timothy 6:6, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I understand that there are times when you get lonely, when you want that partner. I get it. I really get it. But I'm going to tell you something. Being married, you can be lonely too. You can be in a crowd of people and be lonely. Sometimes it's here, right? And so when those time comes is when you delight yourself in the Lord. You know, I really believe that God answers every question that we ever have for life. I really believe it's there. You know, Isaiah chapter 54, it says this. He says, let the barren woman sing. You know, being barren in the Old Testament was a real disgrace. I mean, having babies was it. People wanted, today that people choose not to have children. I get it. But in the Old Testament, that was a disgrace. And Isaiah says, let the barren woman sing. Well, you know, there are more things than just being barren physically and not having children. You know, there, in every one of our lives, there is probably an area of barrenness. Are you following me? Will you shake your head at least a little bit? Like, hey, I understand what you're saying. Yes. Okay. You guys, you're pulling it out of me today. And so he says, sing. What? It goes right back to the very first thought that I had this morning. It's in your barrenness that you offer worship. You can either turn your eyes inward and get sad and be depressed and get all into yourself, or you can turn your eyes upward and say, my hope is in you, not in a wedding ceremony, not in another person. My hope is in you, Christ, and you are the one that I look to fulfill you. Now you may think, Pastor, that's not talking about this. I dare say, I think it is. Because he goes on, and in verse 5, you know what he says about 4 or 5? You know what he says? He said, I'll be your husband. Now, one of the things that really ministered to me as a very young man, is when I was leading worship and God spoke this verse to my heart. He said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. Whew. I remember that service. Because it was God talking to me, right? Well, I want you to hear this. If you are single today, God Almighty said, I will be your husband. I will complete you. I will give you the wisdom that you need that a husband would give you. You know, we really do compliment each other, right? We really do. I mean, you know, women are women, men are men, and we see life from different perspectives. And when we get married, we really do get that other side of how someone sees them. I mean, I may not always want to hear what Treva says, but I need to listen, right? Because she has great wisdom and probably thoughts that I would have never thought about. So it's good to come together. Well, I want you to know, if you're single today, Jesus, God said, I'll be that for you. I'll be that for you. I will be your comfort. I'll be your support system. I'll be your wisdom. I'll be your lover. I know sometimes that makes us uncomfortable in the church, but I'm going to tell you, he is the lover of our soul. No one loves you like Jesus does. No one can satisfy you like Christ does. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Cultivate community into your life. Don't be a hermit. Don't exclude yourself from parties. And it's easy to do. You know, Treva and I lived separate for a season in our life. I took a job in Evansville, Indiana, and the kids were in the middle of the school year. I said, we're not going to move them. So for about three or four months, we lived separate. It was awful. I hated it. But I'm going to tell you, best thing you can do is get into community, develop community around you. Church is a good community. Church is the best community. Don't hang out at the bars. You'll come home with something that might stick to you. You don't want. And let me just say, because we live in a different season, don't form your community online. That's a fake community. Some people get depressed because they didn't get very many likes on this thing that they posted. Oh, get over it. Those are fake anyway, right? I really believe in community. So here's what I would tell you. Find a family to be a part of. Involve yourself in a family, in the church. Find who's open to that. And you're going to hear me over the next few weeks as I talk about family. You're going to hear me a lot talk about mentors, coaches. I like spiritual fathers personally, but you can call it what you want to. To the married, listen to me. Make room for a single person in your life. Whew, you are dead. When you go out to eat, invite them to eat with you. Don't forget them when you have a party at your house. And they need that fellowship. That's something that we can do, we can provide, that's simple for us, right? You know, we had a guy that would come to our house every Monday for supper. He was a single man. Every Monday he would be at our house. He would be in my driveway waiting for me to get home sometimes. And if we didn't cook, he would eat everything in the house. He would eat all the chips. And you know, it sometimes was an irritation, but I was glad that we could do that for him. You know, he laid on my couch one time. And he was having a heart attack. And he kept saying, my chest is hurting. I said, called him by name. I said, I believe you're having a heart attack. You need to leave here and get to the emergency room right now. And he did. And like the next day, he had open heart surgery. Have you ever thought about, thank God he was at my house? What if he had just decided, what if he was at home by himself and he just decided to sleep that one off? The Bible says that God puts the lonely in families. You ever thought that maybe God wants to put somebody in your family, but you haven't opened the door to it? God will help us with struggles of loneliness and companionship. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He can help you with the sexual temptations because God expects you to be pure, body, soul, and spirit. If you're not pure here, you're not going to be pure here. You got to keep your mind pure. Think on these things, the Bible says. Take captive your thoughts. God wants to heal you from your past relationships of abuse, maybe something difficult. If you do get remarried, don't take that baggage into the next relationship. Let God heal your heart. The worst thing that people can do is get out of one relationship and jump into another. This is one of the main problems I have with the way the world dates. Do you know what we're doing with our children when we allow them or permit them to date, to date, to date, to date? They're experiencing a divorce, a divorce, a divorce, a divorce. So when they get married, they go into marriage knowing how it works. Well, if this doesn't work out, I just leave this one and go find another one. No, that's not the way God says. Anytime the church does something just like the world, the church is wrong. And we date just like the world does. I'm telling you, the church needs to rethink this process. I think we need to go back to where mom and daddies choose the spouse. Boy, that scared the fire out of my kids. I would say all the time, hey, have you thought about this one? She's ugly, Dad. I'm going to tell you, most important decision you'll make in your life is who you're going to marry. Don't make that by yourself. Are you listening to me? Don't make that decision alone. Find a mentor, find a coach, find a spiritual father, spiritual mother. Get people to pray with you. And for God's sake, you pray about that. Every one of my children, before they started dating the person that they were going to date, that they thought was marriage potential, they took a month and fasted about that decision. I've never heard anybody else ever say that in the church. And it wasn't my idea. It was their idea. They came to me and said, Dad, I'm going to fast about dating this girl. And I said, well, you know, tell me about her. And you, sort of stuff like the first date. And he said, no, I've been dating her for 6 months, but she doesn't know it. So he said, Dad, Dad and Mom, we were taking a walk. He said, will you pray with me? Will you fast and pray with me for 30 days, whether I proceed on? Are you understanding? Do you understand that the church divorce rate is the same as the world? That's wrong. Something's wrong in the house. Something's not godly. We're not looking to him. Am I making sense? God delights, I believe, in marriage. He wants to see him flourish. What does a healthy single life look like? Number one, it looks holy. It looks pure. And it looks content. Contentment with godliness is great gain. The Bible says, a lot of people think, well, if God wants to be holy, he'll make me that way. No, no. No, no. You got it wrong. The Bible says, purify yourself. Cleanse yourself. There are things, now thank God he does help us, but there are things that you will have to do. Build community around yourself. Gym membership, book club, small group, especially church, and the Wednesday night discipleship class is wonderful. By the way, we do not have a singles ministry in this church, and God has been dealing with me on that for about the last month. I am probably the worst person in the church to start a singles ministry because, I mean, I got married at 19, so I've never really been single. But I'm going to start one this summer. We're going to start a singles ministry for singles. It's not going to be a hookup club. Okay? It's going to be, let's enjoy ourselves. Let's form a community of believers and do something. So we'll tell you more about that as the Lord tells us about it. So steward your freedom by developing God's purpose in you. In other words, how do you find God's purpose? What am I passionate about? What really motivates me? Because chances are that's from God. God wants to do something. Strengthen your identity and who you are right now. Not that I'm waiting to be somebody. Not that I'm waiting. You know, when my brother went to Bible college, they used to tease women and said, when they'd say, well, what are you here for? And they'd say, we're here for our MRS degree. We're looking for a husband, in other words. And so, wrong. You don't go to college to find your spouse. You go to God for that. Be an example to the world on what singles look like. Right? You are God's ambassador. All the world sees is what Hollywood puts out. And if you watch Hollywood, here's what single life looks like. They jump from this bed to that bed to this bed to that bed. Never content. Nothing's ever permanent. That ought not be with God's people. And you know, in Romans 10, he's talking about salvation. And he says, how will they hear unless somebody goes and sends them? Right? You know the verse? Well, let me tell you, here's what the world needs. They need to see successful single people fulfilled in this life. Totally fulfilled. Not looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, but fulfilled in the season that they're in. So don't waste this season. Invest it in you. I don't know whether to do this or not. I haven't known Jen for a long time. Maybe 4 years or something like that. But I can tell you, from the day she walked into this church to the person that she is today, like light and dark difference. Why? Number one, because of the Holy Spirit. But number two, I think she started investing in herself and in her relationship with God. Are you hearing me? God has done something wonderful in her life. She is not the same person today, are you? Totally different. On fire for Jesus. Talk to a fence post. I don't think that's changed, by the way. Don't waste the season. Number two, honor God with your undivided devotion. Seek first the kingdom. Pursue holiness and integrity. Be an example. Serve others with your freedom. Grow spiritually and personally. Find your identity in Christ and not in a relationship. Let him, have you ever asked the Lord, who am I? He will tell you. And there's lots of Bible verses that tell you who you are, right? But God, let God identify who you are. Build a strong community of connection and live your life with gratitude and commitment. Don't be looking to another season. Look to this season. And let him do something powerful in the moment. Okay? I can remember when I was a kid, I couldn't wait to be 16 to get my driver's license. I thought, if I get my driver's license, this house is not going to see me anymore. And it didn't much. I was gone all the time. My home life was not a pleasant place. And I feel like there's people that are living their life with that in mind. But when I get married, this is what I'm going to do. This is what. No, you're missing it. Live in the moment. Right now, in this season, let's see what God wants to do in your life. It's not less than. Are you following? But does everybody, would you shake your head one more time? I hear you, Pastor. It's not less than. God does not view you as less than. Would you stand with me? So I want to pray for you. I will not ask you to come forward. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So I've preached this sermon. I'm going to back up for just a second. It's not wrong to want to be married. That's not wrong. And if that really is a desire in your heart, this is how you do it. Delight yourself in the Lord now. And he will bring, you know, when Ruth Woodard was a widow, she told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to remarry, you're going to have to bring him to my driveway. One day Larry was walking with his sister and they walked to Ruth's driveway and Judy, his twin sister, said, hey, there's a lady that lives here that I'd like for you to meet. Woo! They have a wonderful marriage, right? Why? Because they let God do it. I could tell you a thousand stories of people that did it themselves. And they're miserable today. Let's think about marriage. There are wonderful marriages and there's hell on earth. I grew up on hell on earth. That's why I didn't want to get married. Because my entire family, from grandpa all the way down, all of them was dysfunctional. Every family that I knew was dysfunctional. To the point that when our preacher came and he and his wife looked so happy, I thought, I think that's fake. I don't think there's such a thing as happy people. God really had to change my heart. I really want the very best for you. I really do. I can't tell you how many times I just pray for you as individual and God brings you across my mind. One of the reasons I was so weepy this morning is because I was thinking about you. I was just praying for the church. The greatest honor of my life was, other than being a dad, was being a pastor. I love the job that I'm doing. I love this because one thing, it's God called. I certainly didn't go out seeking for it. But in that, I want you to be fulfilled in life. Don't wait. Are you hearing me? Don't wait for a marriage to let the Lord fulfill you now. He wants to fulfill you now. Father God, I just come before you, Lord. I've expressed my heart and what I feel like you have laid on my heart. God, I pray, Lord, that there has been no condemnation today. Lord, that no one has heard this from any other spirit than the spirit of love which you have, God. I pray, Lord, that there'd be a strong determination, Lord, to be satisfied with where we're at right now. Whatever our relationship status is right now, I pray, God, that we would just be satisfied to grow in you, God. I pray, God, for the married people of this church, that we would begin to open our doors more, that we would be mindful, God, that there are single people that worship with us that need a family. And God, we can be that. So God, Lord, if you place somebody on our hearts, in our minds, God, we're going to take that as the Spirit of God putting somebody there so that we can open our hearts up to them. God, I thank you, Lord, for the families that I know that already do that. What a blessing they have been as I've watched that time and time again, that total joy that comes to another person because of an invitation to come and eat. How wonderful. That really is true love. That really is a true religion. God, I pray for my single brothers and sisters right now that they would feel your satisfaction, that they would feel the smiles of heaven with their life right now. And then with all the pressure would come off Lord, all the family and cultural and church pressure that we have placed on people. God, I just pray that you would relieve that right now. They would just take it out of their hearts and minds, even if it's their own pressure. Help them to flourish where they're at right now. God, may they feel your spirit right now. Fulfill them in every way. And may they be your ambassadors to show the world how successful you can be as a single person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?
Don't forget, on the 31st, we have one service, right? At what, 10 o'clock, is that right? Okay. We're also having a baptism at the end of that service. So if you want to be water baptized, if you haven't been, you want to sign up for that, we'll have a sign up on the app. You can do that. Be a wonderful time to do it. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.